Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Sup, bitches.
Now I hope this shit goes viral. I want everybody to hear what I say.
Yo, my flies. All the wrong one. Bears 100 proof. We can see Phil, Shane, and me. Better believe. Don't listen and don't preconceive. I don't give a shit. Just don't fuck with me. A-L-D-O, love me or hate me, baby. I know the bar room can be racist. That's the rules. It's about being real, not rude. See the show that we do. It's got attitude. So who's next on my shit list? Haters, motherfucking haters. Two-faced haters. Rule, baby, baby. I'm about to go out of control. If you're real, ain't let me hear you say yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Fucking thing sucks. Yeah. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Yeah.
Sucks. Oh,
yeah. Oh.
Fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Na na na. A bear's ballroom. They're the ones that fight for truth. Bears are alive or 100 proof. Even if the bears win or lose. A bear's ballroom. They're the ones that fight for truth. Bears are alive or 100 proof. No matter if the bears win or lose.
Obviously, you want to score touchdowns. You want to be able to put points up on the board. But I want to see some first downs. I want to see a balance of a run and pass. I want to see solid protection. You have protection, and you give that quarterback green grass regardless of who it is. They'll produce. They'll make the throws. So it all starts up front. Can we match them up front, and then can we get the run game going?
Cheers, Bears fans! Welcome to this special Bears 100 Proof. Thanks to the Barflies and Bobby Phelan, we landed an interview with Benjamin Albright, the popular talk show host at Mile High Sports Radio. And Ben has a huge Twitter following because he's engaging and is always good for a provocative opinion. Ben joins us briefly. My name is Aldo Gandia. I serve the drinks here, but don't you worry. The stars of this nightclub act are here. Well, not all of them. Draft Dr. Phil will lead the interview with Ben, and Bobby Phelan will join us to step in for the smartest man, Shane Marsaw, who is unavailable to join us. Is Bears Girl here? Of course she is. She's right over there at the best booth of the house, scouring the internet for breaking stories. And let's begin with Bears Girl. What is new in the world of the Chicago Bears?
There is a lot going on. We've got a report out of the Chicago Sun-Times from Adam Johns, who reports that linebacker Nick Kwiatkowski is getting some love from veteran linebacker Danny Trevathan. A lot of people don't give Nick the credit he deserves, Trevathan said. He went on to report he could start anywhere. Just having him out there is no drop-off with the defense at all. He's out there. He's communicating, and he's making plays. And when number 44 is out there, you're going to know it. Kwiatkowski's had a very good camp, which he attributes to having a better knowledge this season of Vic Fangio's defense. What do you think, Aldo? Is there a chance he starts against Green Bay, or will it be all about Roquan Smith?
I think there is a chance that Nick could start over Roquan Smith versus the Packers. And really, I wouldn't mind seeing it. It would just mean that there's great depth at the position and that Nick's stock increases, and Danny Trevathan is going to be playing long at that, forever at that inside linebacker position. So eventually it's going to be Roquan and Nick, but if the season starts off with Danny and Nick, I'm cool with that. What do you think?
I honestly think there's going to be a lot of shit on Twitter if we don't see Smith on the field at all against Green Bay.
We'll see him on the field, but I don't think he necessarily will start, but he probably will. We'll get a good taste of that, I guess, over the next couple of weeks. But what else you got? You got anything else?
We got ESPN president Jimmy Pitaro telling Axos.com today that the network won't be broadcasting the national anthem before Monday night football games this season. He indicates we've generally not broadcasted the anthem, and I don't think that'll change this year. He said that could be a change because it's unpredictable what could happen in the world, but as of now, don't expect to see the anthem played on ESPN Monday night football. What do you think of that, Aldo?
I am happy to hear that. As patriotic as I am, and I am one of the most patriotic Puerto Ricans in the world, the U.S. national anthem is frankly, a little boring. And I'd rather hear the Canadian national anthem. They should play that before every.
Nice as ours. I don't get ESPN, so I am stuck to seeing the anthem played every single time because my feed is usually Fox or NBC.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I think, frankly, I never watch if the anthem is on or not. You know, when I'm at a sporting event, I stand with respect and appreciation. But for ESPN to show it or not show it, I don't really care. Sorry. Am I a bad person?
No, I think you probably are amongst 50% of your population.
Okay. Now, what do we do now? Are we going to the Benjamin Albright interview?
We are. Everyone has been hyped up about this, and I know that I'm sad I wasn't able to make it, so let's play it.
All right. Excellent. Let's do that. We did the interview earlier today on Friday, and Benjamin was at camp, witnessed the two practices, the two scrimmages between the Bears and the Broncos, so we questioned him about that. I think the interview turned out good. It was some technical problems. It's not the best audio quality we've ever produced here, but nonetheless, I think it's worth a listen. It's about 30 minutes long, and then Bears Girl and I will come back and wrap things up. Here we go.
Boss.
Believe that Benjamin Albright is on the line with us. Is that correct?
I am here.
All right.
Look at this guy.
Benjamin. I heard that guy was incredibly handsome. I don't know. I can't speak for that.
only in your wedding photo. Only in your wedding photo.
It's the only one. Captured my good side, getting away from the camera.
Benjamin, I'm going to do some quick introductions here. My name is Aldo. I'm kind of the ringmaster here. I will do the introductions, and then after that, I'll kind of fade into the background while Draft Dr. Phil Atoshin and Bobby Phelan will conduct most of the interview. So how are you, Benjamin?
I'm alive and kicking.
Well, listen, thanks very much for being on with us. We are great followers of you on Twitter. We love your take on things. Draft Dr. Phil actually included you in a song that he wrote where he...
Absolutely.
He identified a lot of...
You need this song right now. This needs to happen.
Okay.
I told you he's going to want to hear it.
All right.
For proof and evidence.
You know, this is the second song, honestly, about me. I mean, when Rick Springfield wrote Jesse's Girl, he changed the name because...
Well, I'm going to play a portion because it's a long song. I'm going to play the portion where you come up.
Please.
This is after some lyrics where Draft Dr. Phil is identifying some of the frauds in the media, and then he gets to this part.
Some people think that Benjamin Albright is, but he's not. Guess who is? All the Tribune writers. Football frauds on Twitter. Just print out their made-up stories and wipe your ass on the shitter.
That's one of our classics.
That kind of bold vibe to it. I'm here for that.
Listen, to give context here, Ben, you know me. We've had exchanges. Honestly, back in the day, I don't know who these are. I'm new to Twitter, and I'm following suit here, people attacking you, and I'm like, oh, gee, it must be one of them. And then as I grew and I start seeing people's words and understanding their analytics and how they handle themselves, it was very clear that not only were you connected with people and had proven yourself time and time again, but people still went after you. So we did this parody Christmas album where I did all these Christmas songs, obviously focusing on the Bears and stuff for Bears Barroom. It was 22 tracks. This was the bonus track. It was called Fraudica, obviously, for the Hanukkah song. And that's where you came in. I was shouting you out and well deserved and really honored. Honestly, I'm so happy to have you on the fucking show. we've been wanting to have you on the show for a long time. Me and, unfortunately, the smartest man in the barroom, Shane Marsall, can't be here, too. But both of us are really admirers of you, as well as Bobby, who's coming in here. And Bobby's a Marine, and he brings it with the Bears barroom. I'm so happy to have him to come and step up in the pocket for the smartest man. But, again, really happy to have you on the show with us and talk Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to be here and semper fi to Bobby. I was an Army guy, but we have respect across the branches.
Yeah, I seen that. I was looking yesterday on one of those pictures. I was trying to pull that picture, that little Thug Life video I made. I was gonna take the Army one, but then I figured we should leave that out of it.
That's a great picture too. Okay, so like that, my bachelor party, we were trying to come up with something just to do something a little different, you know. And I told all my buddies just like wear something super obnoxious, right? And so, like, I was like, well, what's more obnoxious than, like, these fake glasses and a cocaine white suit? so, like, I put that on, and then, like, nobody else dressed obnoxious, so I just felt like an asshole.
Well, let's talk some football, fellas. Benjamin, you've been out at, checking out the scrimmages between the Broncos and Bears?
Yeah. We had the 2 days of co-practice and all that kind of stuff. It's been fun. It's been a good change of pace. Been interesting and fun to watch. Got into a little friendly verbal exchange with Chase Daniel about how short he is. That was fun.
Hey, don't pick on short dudes, man. Come on.
Well, I'm 5'10", so you know, but and Chase is basically my height. When he stands next to Tyler Bray, it's like that Muggsy Bogues Manute Bol photo from back in
I saw that.
Yeah, so I pointed it out to him, and he kind of like, you know, clapped back a little on Twitter, and then so I snagged it in the practice and stuff like that. And he was like, you know, I should take a picture next to you, and I'll look like a fucking giant.
Listen, Ben, it's really important for Barflies and loyal listeners of this podcast understand that it's really healthy to get an outsider's perspective, especially when there's no bias involved in it. It's not like you're trying to write a narrative, so to speak. If anybody, especially not you, you just keep it 100. So for me, my first question in regards to as they go at it, I think one of the huge storylines, and when I mean go at it, I mean the Bears and Broncos and get these individual matchups, is a guy that really needs to step up and ascend, and that's Leonard Floyd. So I know there's so much going on, especially at a training camp practice, but in those individual times where you're getting one-on-one views, you guys flash, let's be honest. This guy has to be a big, intricate part of the Bears moving forward into this defense. Did you happen to see anything of him, and what are your feelings about him in regards to 2018?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. He does have to be an impact player going forward. As far as that goes, we saw a couple flashes, as far as that kind of stuff goes. He's given as good as he gets out there. I wouldn't say that he's been dominant. I would say that wouldn't be correct to say, but he's given as good as he's gotten out there. He's gotten in there, made some good plays. I think he's going to be a force this season. He's not Von Miller.
Right.
But he's out there making plays.
You know, the beginning of this week, our biggest news was the signing of Roquan, and you actually got to witness his first couple live practices and scrimmages. How do you think he looked out there? And did you see any of, like, maybe a little one-on-one time with him, either Vic, Glenn, or maybe Danny T, where they're pulling him aside and trying to assist with the learning process for him?
Well, they are, but they threw him right into the fire. They put him out there and made him, quote-unquote, captain of the defense right off the top. He was out there calling the plays, everything else. It was interesting to watch. I was a little concerned his first practice. He's coming up here to altitude to practice, right, if he'd be gassed like that. But nah, he looked like he's kept himself in pretty good shape. And he's real rangy. That's the thing. Like, he's really rangy. You don't really realize just how that is. And so Case Keenum trying to make a couple of throws. He had a deflection or two on pass things, on balls you didn't think he was going to catch up to. So, I think there's a winner there. The Vegas odds came out on Rookie of the Year. It's interesting that both these teams had the top two guys. Bradley Chubb was favored number one. Roquan was number two. And I got to be honest with you, I think Roque is going to be Rookie of the Year. I know it's a stupidly limited sample size, but He's a real rangy guy. He's going to be in there down. Bradley Chubb's going to be a rotational guy with Shaq Barrett, Shane Ray, and Von Miller. So, you know, I think he's a really good for defensive rookie of the year with Roke.
He brought up Shane Ray. The Bears have a need, a pass rusher. Here's a guy that you drafted first in the first round. What is his chance of making the roster? What are the chances, especially when you see these inter-squad scrimmages and practices? The Bears have seen it with the Patriots, and then they're trading for a player. Is there an opportunity in your mind that Shane Ray could be on the block as well as having the Ryan Pace, the GM, and everyone there to assess him? How important is that this week?
Well, you know, I think it's good for those guys to get a chance to, you know, to look at him and kind of see up close and personal if he's somebody he wants and then make an offer. You know, the Broncos are kind of hurting still at the tight end position. We don't have that nailed down. You just got two question marks in Hyerman and Butt. I know they had interest in Adam Shaheen, you know, previously. That might be a chance for you guys to unload him since you're kind of going in a little bit of a different direction at the tight end position. You know,
No, Ben. Don't go there yet.
But, you know, I don't know that, you know, I know he's definitely on the block. I know they're out there feeling out offers and looking at what they can do. They'd like to, you know, in an ideal situation, they'd move him and Paxton Lynch and wind up with a backup quarterback. But, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Benjamin, the hot topics here in Chicago is the whole Cody Whitehair snap situation, and you actually tweeted about that a couple of times. You said that the snaps from the center were a problem for the Chicago Bears, and then I think I got it here. It says Whitehair, you tweeted out that Whitehair looks good as a blocker, but he is not a natural snapper. Tell us more about that, and I think Draft Dr. Phil is going might want to debate you on that.
he just doesn't look like a natural scenario. He looks more like a natural. And to be honest with you, when he was coming out of college, I had him pegged as a, you know, a 10-year all-pro left guard. But, you know, I think that there were maybe it was the turf, maybe it was the new setting, maybe it was whatever, but there were, you know, three or four shotgun snaps that were just completely off target, and then a couple of under center exchanges that were bobbled and botched as far as that goes. Looked like he was kind of snapping it. If you were hunched over, if you were the center, it would be off and to your right, or if you were the quarterback, off and to your right, more than where it should have been. And, you know, so then Trubisky bobbles the snap, and he's trying to correct himself and throw a timing throw, you know, a quick back shoulder fade to, you know, to Allen Robinson. Of course, that's off, and then he had a corner route to Robinson, and the timing was off on that as well. So, you know, that snapping, that not having that down yet, that's kind of a problem. You should have that down by this point in preseason. You've had enough reps, you know. And so, I was under the impression that the Bears were drafting James Daniels to be the guy there, you know, and then Whitehair would be the guard. But, you know, perhaps I was wrong on that.
Here's my thing on this whole thing. You know, Cody's been moved around. And when he's played center, Ben, on tape, again, I'm never going to blow anybody away with a lie. It's tremendous at the center position, and he is the impetus of what you've seen Jordan Howard be able to do. Now, he's had Adam Gase, Dumb Dowell Loggins, and John Fox and their, quote, offense, and a new offensive line coach every year. Now this different philosophy comes in with the best offensive line coach, arguably, in the country. They go out of their way to define him as the center. Once James Daniel was drafted, Ben, they went out of their way in the post-draft presser that James is going to be a guard. The head coach is going out of his way to say it. And again, practice is what this stuff is for. There's a whole new philosophy in it. And I think the panic button, as well as people wanting to write a story, you're 100% right. This is a timing-based offense. I'm not saying it isn't. But James Daniels has had some bad snaps, too. It's a problem that they got to fix, and that's where mistakes are okay. And the rhythm, if you build this up into something, I know the psyche of a football player, especially at that position, with all the checks, all the calls. A young guy coming in off the street is not like a Madden backup. Oh, he just knows the playbook. No, he's got to learn the freaking whole playbook. He's got to know the checks. So this is a precarious situation with a guy that needs to, in Whitehair, get his muscle memory and the technique down. But I just don't see a head coach, an offensive coordinator, in the guy from Ori Helfrich, and as well as Harry Highstand, all defining and standing on the table for this guy at center, as well as the quarterback. It's become a distraction. It's become a meatballers, you know, bring the torch and the freaking pitchfork. This stuff has to happen. You know that, Ben. I've coached this for my whole life. I've been around it.
Phil, let me jump in here and play a little bit of sound from Thursday's post-practice press conference. Mitch Trubisky was asked about Cody Whitehair's problems with the snaps.
Cody knows I got his back, and Cody cares more about this team and this game than pretty much anybody. So if you guys knew how much Cody loved this game and this team, there wouldn't be any questions about it. So I'm not worried one bit. He's going to continue to work at it. He's got a lot on his plate right now with a lot of calls and checks, as do I. So we're doing a lot of thinking. So the more we can think less and just go out there and play, I mean, he's been practicing, and we're going to get it down. So I'm not worried about Cody one bit. He's a heck of a player, and I love having him on our O-line and our center.
Ben, you heard Mitch's comments, and he was basically echoing what Draft Dr. Phil was just saying. So what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I mean, of course, a teammate's going to love his teammate. We all know Cody Whitehair has a passion for the game. Those are, you know, pablum quotes. Yeah. You know, he's going to go out there and be reassuring about, you know, he's never going to throw his teammate under the bus. But the reality is that, yeah, he had a half dozen bad snaps over 2 days. And that's something that needs to be corrected. Now, whether or not he gets it, you know, and he becomes the guy at center and becomes an all-pro center and all that kind of stuff, we could sit here and debate that to the end of time.
Exactly.
You know, my and it's really superfluous. The coach is going to put him where they put him, and you just have to hope he succeeds there. But the, you know, like when I looked at Cody, I had him pegged as an all-pro left guard, but I'm not going to sit there and create some fake narrative that he sucks at center to try to get them to put him at left guard. I mean, who am I to do something like that to
him? Exactly. That's why I love this guy.
But, you know, like if he, I absolutely hope he succeeds at center. He's a great kid. He's got the right attitude. I would love to see him succeed at center. It's just something that just happened to jump out at me. You know, while I was sitting there, because they were actually literally practicing right parallel in front of me at the time. So it kind of jumped out at me.
Is this guy as eloquent as they come? Jesus Christ.
Anybody?
I've never heard him speak before. I'm sorry, Ben. I got to praise you for that. But also to the point, these guys are human beings. There's this young kid in there who's a talent beyond. Ben, I had a first round grade on Daniels. I thought he's a tremendous center. But as you know, there's so much that goes into this position. In fact, it's the most difficult position on the offensive line, bar none. There's not even an argument in that. So to thrust that pressure and to feel Cody Whitehair having it, that plays a role in all of this. So people just dismissing it, like you just said eloquently, I've got to believe, obviously, it's weighing heavy on the kid. And he's had 10 snaps. Whitehair has at center in preseason scrimmages. It's really a problem in practice, but they don't count in practice. So I really thank you for saying that. And Aldo, we can go on to the next question.
Well, Bobby, go ahead.
All right, Ben, another one that we got, one of the fan favorites currently is Anthony Miller. And this kid plays with a lot of swag and confidence just from the camp. And yesterday, allegedly, there was a little altercation on the field with an unnamed Bronco player and Anthony Miller. Can you fill us in on the situation? And maybe, I don't know, was he blocking? Was he catching? Were they just getting a little chippy and the play was nowhere around?
Yeah, they were running special teams plays. It was blown up more than it should have been. It was Tim Patrick, who's the number 5/number 6/number 7 receiver on this roster. Tim's a big guy. It's not the guy you should be fighting, but Miller was kind of in the spirit of things where everybody's going 85%, you know, so they don't hurt anybody. And so, you know, it was kind of one of those things where I guess he took a little umbrage and they, you know, they got a little pushing and shoving and stuff. But it was a lot more overblown by media. And you know how that is, you know, media guys see that right. stuff and I've never played. And, oh, they're fighting, you know. And it's, mm-hmm. it's one of those things where you just kind of, you know, you kind of laugh at that stuff. I always kind of laugh at that stuff when I see it.
What were your thoughts about Mitch Trubisky and how he was throwing the ball? And do you? What's your overall projection for him as an NFL quarterback?
Well, I think he's going to be a decent quarterback. He's probably going to be one of those guys who, you know, annually fits somewhere between the 12th and 7th best, quarterback in the league overall. I don't think he's one of those guys that's, I don't see him as a Brady or a Breeze type, but I see him as certainly better than an Andy Dalton, you know. I I think he's Kirk Cousins, maybe a little better than Cousins if he can protect the football a little better. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think being above average but not elite is certainly fine. You can win a Super Bowl with that. You can win Super Bowl with that. I think that's kind of my, I don't want to be, I don't want to let people down with a downgrade. I'm not trying to dog the kid, but, that's kind of where I look at him. He's never going to be Russ Wilson, but he's a guy you can, when I use Alex Smith as a comparison, people take it as an insult. And I don't mean to. I think using that as an archetype is the way to go. Mitch can get outside the pocket and pick you up a few yards of his legs if he needs to. He's a guy who's going to be efficient with the football. And those are good things to have. You make a long career out of that, and you can win games with that.
But to that point, you can say that, Tom Brady came in here with a noodle arm and what have you. There's always the impetus to improve and get better. If you were to assess him, what do you think he needs to improve on in your eyes?
I think he needs to get his ball placement down a little bit. When he misses high, and that puts you at risk for, balls that get batted up in the air and interceptions. I think he needs to work on a mindset of only putting the ball where his receiver can make a play on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we've noticed here with Case Keenum coming in. Case Keenum does really well. Trevor Siemian didn't do that. Peyton Manning just put the ball on his receiver. It was otherworld accuracy. You can't really knock that. But Case is a guy who puts the ball where only his receiver has a chance to make a play on it. And if he can't, well, it goes incomplete and they come back, try the play again. But, I think that's something that Mitch Trubisky will want to adopt, the mentality he'll want to adopt, because I don't think that he's, Peyton and Brady, it's so difficult to say people will be that because those guys had championship work ethic and mentality. You can't see that from the outside. And I'm not sitting with Mitch Trubisky at his house saying, hey, put the Xbox down, dude. Let's go crack the playbook and some tape. I don't know what he's doing.
Right.
So, I can't comment on that. But, for the physical aspects of his game, he's got just about everything you need. His arm is not, it's not a cannon, but it's certainly NFL caliber. He's a guy that just needs to work on placing the ball, and I think that you got to look at this as year one for him, because he was done a disservice last year with Dowell Logans, who's I have a personal relationship with. I hate the guy, and he's the worst offensive coordinator.
Thank you.
I could give you, when we hang up, I'll give you a couple stories about that guy, but he's a fraud and he should not be in the league.
He's a fucking idiot.
Oh my God. Do we got to play the song again? you should actually play him the dumb Dowell song. I love that. Actually, the Dowell low game. I did a little dumber boy for his Christmas song instead of drummer boy. Anyway,
we'll close the show with that.
Ben, just tell us a little bit about, after watching the Bears these last couple days and the Broncos, what did you learn about the Bears that you didn't realize before seeing them going head up against the Denver Broncos?
I guess I didn't realize exactly how athletic that team is. There's a lot of speed. There's a lot of speed on this Bears team on the offensive side of the ball. And they made a quick transition from the John Fox, we're all going to be Bears and maul you to death, to getting some speed and some athleticism out there. So that's kind of it. I think that, looking at the tight end position, how athletic they are, the Broncos, their inside linebackers can't cover anymore. They suck. So, it makes your tight ends look that much better. That Wims kid that you got out there, he scored a couple of times. He's been out there doing the thing. And, Burton, of course, is highly athletic as well. So, I guess that would be the thing that I kind of learned, is that the Bears offense has made the transition to a very athletic, very speed oriented offense very quickly.
So Ben, what do you think? I know you said the offense obviously moved to athletic quickly. What do you think the most, if there's one thing, what's our most glaring need that you feel that we currently have?
Something I didn't think coming into these practices, but now after having watched your corners really struggle in man.
Wow.
Fuller got put on skates by Sanders. I mean, Sanders absolutely worked. There's it's a running joke around here. Sanders said in the press conference, "I guess I've got a new son," because Fuller absolutely could not cover him.
Wow.
Can we get that audio?
Yeah, I can find. I've got video on it. To be fair, Emmanuel Sanders, this is probably the best I've seen him look in a camp since his first year in Denver. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, and Fuller is a good corner, you know, by any stretch. It's not, you know, it's so. It was interesting to watch him, you know, tripping and falling all over himself trying to cover Emmanuel Sanders.
Interesting, because we've gone to camp a few times here, and Fuller has looked good, but clearly going up against some competition that's not Chicago Bears has probably tripped him up a little bit.
Well, I think getting used to covering your own receivers every day, you start to learn their tricks, and right. So when you see a new guy, you know that could be a possibility as well. When you get a new person out there, that can kind of throw you off because you're used to what your guy did, you know.
Right. Well, and one of the things that you tweeted about was that the offenses for both squads really played well during these scrimmages.
Yeah, the offenses were moving the ball with ease. Even the second, you know, the second units. We're moving the ball with these first units as well. The Denver defense kind of picked it up a little bit in that second day, you know, yesterday. But Chicago still was pretty able to move the ball. I'm not going to say at will, but, you know, it was pretty effective. I think they stopped them once. I think they held them three and out once. And then they the rest of the times they moved it pretty successfully, either getting, you know, sorry, that was me. I got a phone call. I'm doing this on my phone, so I apologize.
No problem.
No worries. Ben, how underrated is Jordan Howard in your eyes?
I don't know. Underrated is such a tough thing to qualify or quantify because, you know, how I feel about the guy is he's a very good running back, you know. But if you're saying relative to maybe national narrative, you know, I would say that he's underrated.
Where do you take him in your fantasy draft, Ben?
I'm the first half on that, so a little self-deprecation here. I'm actually terrible at fantasy football. The problem is because I come at it from a scout's mentality, so I'm taking like all these down roster guys that are quote unquote gonna blow someday, and meanwhile I'm scoring. Like three total points in week one because, you know, all my future picks are going to be studs here 3 years from now or whatever.
Well, I'm taking him first overall because I put my word on it, Ben. That's where the joke is coming from. We got a Bears Barroom Fantasy draft coming up this weekend, I believe. And I said, no matter where, I'm taking this guy. Watch what happens when Dowell is not his offensive coordinator and defenses aren't stacking the box and calling out plays. I'm excited to see what this guy's going to do with Matt Nagy, and I'm a man of my word. So first overall pick's already in the books.
Well, they'll spread things out horizontally with this offense, which will benefit him a lot because, you know, he comes downhill with that power. You know, it'll be tough to stop that when you're spread out, you know, horizontally trying to cover all that speed at receiver. But I don't know that I'd take him number one. I think Le'Veon somewhere else is probably the direction I'd go for number one. But, you know, good on you for sticking to your word.
Hey, Ben, how do you project this NFC North division here in 2018? Who do you think is the favorite to win? And where do the Chicago Bears kind of fall in your eyes?
Well, I think you guys aren't going to want to hear this, but I think the division is, you know, I think fairly obviously Minnesota's, you know, to lose as far as that kind of stuff goes. You'll see the Packers be a little more competitive, obviously, with Rodgers back, but that window's closing. You know, I think the number three team in the division is probably Chicago and Detroit. Chicago on the upswing, Detroit kind of in a state of flux. They've got some issues, and I don't know that Matt Patricia was the right guy for the job there. I just don't know if he's the right, you know, the right fit for what they need to be doing. But, you know, I think for Bears fans, it's important to temper expectation for this season. You know, the main thing is to get the right pieces in place and start getting the system, you know, the confines of the system and building your own quarterback up. The idea this season should be competitive in every game. You know, don't lose any games by two scores or more. And then, you know, and that should be the goal for this season. Wind up with, you know, maybe seven wins, you know, that kind of thing. And then take that momentum and apply it forward next year where you figure out, okay, we got the draft and free agency to plug the few holes we have. After trying these guys out, you know, we know the system now. We know where the holes are. Let's get those filled. Now let's go be competitive. Green Bay will be a team on the decline. Minnesota is now cash strapped and cap strapped because they paid everybody. You know, that'll be your main. And Detroit's not really going to be a factor in the division anytime soon. I don't think so. They can't even solve the running back position. So, you know,
you don't like Blunt.
I mean, I love LeGarrette Blount, but to be blunt, LeGarrette Blount is not a feature. And, you know, you got, what, Amir Abdullah, Theo Riddick. Who else they got up there? Good Lord. you know, they spend pick after pick on guy after guy, and none of them can be the guy. So, you know, I think that Chicago's probably the number three team in the division, to make a short story incredibly long. I think they're probably the three team in the division, and I think that the goal for this season is always be competitive. Next season, we go get our playoffs.
Ben, when you look at this roster and you look at practices, every time I go in to assess like a training camp, inner squad, scrimmage, whatever it is, I'm always looking for flash players, guys that impress, like, whoa, and just draw your attention. When you are watching this take play, who brought that to you from Chicago? Who surprised you out there?
Well, Wims, the tight end, really did. You know, that's a thing. I mean, for a down roster guy like that, he's been almost dominant out here, you know, at times. So that's good. You know, Allen Robinson looks pretty good going up against Chris Harris. He and Mitch just hadn't got the timing down yet, and I think that'll come. So, you know, I think on the offensive side of the football, those are kind of the guys. Like I said, I was kind of a little disappointed in Fuller, but that could just be, you know, getting used to playing against somebody else, you know, a couple snaps, that kind of thing. And Roquan, I thought, for coming out for a first practice, I thought that was great.
With knowing that, like, all the new pieces that were brought into this team and how everything's getting molded together, would you personally utilize preseason of more of a getting everybody on the same page, or are you utilizing it to organize your final 53 and see who makes the cut?
Yeah, I'm seeing who my talent is. I'm not trying. Mm-hmm. We're not even worried about that other stuff at this point. Right now, we're trying to build a solid talent base. The system will come, you know. So if it's me, we're out there. I'm finding the best 53 guys. I'm finding my dogs, you know. We're going to build the culture off those guys. And then, like I said, we're going to try to win this year. But we're going to set a realistic expectation of being competitive, with the goal to go out there and punch everybody in the mouth next year.
Very good. Gotcha. Guys, I hate to kill the rest of this interview, but I'm so anxious to hear what Benjamin's going to share with us about Dow Loggins that I'm going to turn off the recorder, and then we're going to talk off the record. So, but officially, Benjamin Albright, I want to thank you for being on Bears 100 Proof, and why don't you tell our audience how they can follow you on Twitter.
Well, you can unfollow me at Albright NFL. Chances are, I tried to block myself yesterday; it didn't work. You can find me here locally in Denver on AM 1340 FM 104.7. You know, there's Facebook, Instagram, whatever all that other stuff is. Ladies, you could Snapchat me. Not kidding. I think that's all of them.
Well, it was funny when we announced that you were going to be on the show. I got about a dozen people saying, ask him why he blocked me.
You probably were a piece of shit to him. And that's probably why. It's not hard to figure out.
You don't block people. There really is legitimately only two reasons I block people. If you were an asshole, or if you, and repeatedly, like not just once, yeah. Like repeatedly. Asshole, or if you I caught you lying about something. Those are the only two reasons I block people. Now, if people ask, I'll unblock them. So just give me a list of people that want to be unblocked, and I'll unblock them.
Very cool.
Hey, I just want to be followed by Ben Albright. I'll take that. This way I could DM you some of my thoughts. But Ben, I got to get it on the record, Aldo. One favor and one comment, actually. The comment is, I owe you an apology. I was defending John Fox, the hire, the plan, the veteran coach. You were head over, you know, ass over tea kettle against me in the fact that you knew it was going to explode. Whenever I got a chance to talk to you, I own my freaking wrongs and my rights. I will praise the people that are right. You were right, sir. I completely apologize. I was completely wrong about that plan.
Well, you don't owe me anything, man. We're all just dudes talking football.
Now, my one favor is, could you give us a station ID?
Yeah, I got that. Just give me a three count, and I'll knock that up.
Three, two.
Hey, guys, Benjamin Albright, most hated man on Twitter. You're listening to the Bears. Wait, shit, what am I calling it? Bear Barroom.
Radio. Bears Barroom Radio.
I got Bears Barroom Radio. Okay, one more time. Y'all ready?
Three, two, go.
Hey guys, Benjamin Albright, the most hated man on Twitter, and you should listen to Bears Barroom Radio right here.
Bears girl, I gotta tell you, this Benjamin Albright guy, smart dude. I mean, he used the word pablum. What does that mean, pablum? Do you know what that means?
Well, pablum, when I was growing up, was baby food.
I don't think
it was, a brand of baby cereal.
It's a brand of. I don't think he was referring to the baby food you ate as
pretty
a child.
Sure he wasn't.
No, I think pablum means something like something stupid or I don't know. But boy, a guy is smooth with the words. I'll tell you that. Anyway, very enjoyable interview with Benjamin Albright. Did you like it, Bears Girl?
It sounds like it was going to be probably one of our most listened to and downloaded.
Oh, get out. You didn't even listen to it.
I said it sounds like it's going to be one of our most listened to and downloaded.
She didn't tell
me. I didn't say I listened to it.
All right. You got any other news before we wrap up this special edition of Bears 100 Proof?
We got fines already coming out in the league. Ian Rappaport is reporting preseason fines for rookie fourth pick cornerback Denzel Ward being fined $10,026 for taunting, and wide receiver Jarvis Landry of the Browns being fined $13,369 for unsportsmanlike conduct. As well, then Colt safety Shamarco Thomas has been fined $26,739 for the hit that led to his ejection from last week's preseason opener versus Seattle. He has since been released by the Colts and signed by the Broncos, and he is now the first player ejected under that new helmet rule who's also been fined as well.
Wow. You know, Bears girl, we should start instituting some fines here at the bar room, right? For, rude behavior, for being tardy to recording sessions, stuff like that, right? What do you think? Who would be the most fined person at the bar room?
You want us to lose money instead of make money?
No, we'd make money off of like draft Dr. Phil if he was late. We'd fine Phil $1,000 for having a bad microphone.
I can just hear him now. Not his fault. He has four kids, and that's his third headset.
That is. He's been investing a lot of time and capital on providing us with clear, crisp audio. It's just I'm still finding him.
All right. Why don't you just help a brother out and send him a good headset and microphone?
I did already.
And another.
I'm being silly here because I haven't had my afternoon nap. Anyway, you got anything else before we say goodbye?
Well, yeah, something else premiered today on the network. It's not just the interview with Ben. The Mike North Advantage debuted today on right. Bears Barroom Radio Network. And Mike, of course, was in full North mode. This was his take on the Cody Whitehair bad snap story that has been brewing for days.
He was moved over from guard. He can't snap a long snap, a shotgun snap. There's always, even in the practices, even in the scrimmages, there was 2 to 3 mishaps. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what? If you can't exchange, the one thing, guys, the one thing, folks, that you can't overlook, the center snap should be taken for granted. Would I be right in assessing that for the most part, people think that the snap exchange between the center and the quarterback, whether it's underneath center or whether it is a shotgun. Would you agree, Aldo, most football fans say, hey, you know what, that's going to be fine. It's not, let's get the handoff off. That's the number one concern in camp. We don't have a center. I didn't think he was that good last year. Granted, he's got a lot of signals to call. Well, he's going to have a lot of signals to call Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers opening day. So you've got to be careful there. I think that this is an opportunity for this guy, James Daniels, to maybe go in there. There's other centers in camp. I'd like to see Whitehair moved back to where he was. At guard.
The guard position, okay. Wow, I bet your draft Dr. Phil is going to have a lot to say about Mike's take on that. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, for those that can't wait for more, including our beloved Draft Dr. Phil, North Show will be live every Friday here on the network at 9 a.m. Central with the podcast version out around noon on the same day.
I don't want to interrupt you because I don't want to get fined. Go ahead.
Well, if people interrupting me was a finable offense, I would be so rich. So I didn't get to tune into the show. I was at work and couldn't be on with you guys to listen in and join the MixLR chat room. But I'm interested to know, what betting tips did Mike offer for this weekend?
Mike actually picked four games for us. Now, I think that during the season, he said he was only going to pick a couple of games because he thinks it's a wise approach to just bet on a couple of games that you're really sure about and not go out on a limb and do a lot of betting and potentially lose a lot of money. And I think that's a good advice. But he did pick four games, three of them for Friday night. And then he, of course, picked the Chicago-Denver game. So this is what he suggested. Detroit-New York Giants, he said, pick the New York Giants plus the 3 points Vegas is giving the Giants. And that, to me, sounds like a good bet, although the Giants are at Ford Field, and it's always difficult to play there. So I don't know if I would take that one. This next one, to me, sounds much more intriguing. He wants people to take the under in the Miami-Carolina game. It's 43 points, and he thinks it's going to be more of a defensive battle and not a lot of points score. So he says take the under, which is 43 points. That's the one I would lay some money on. And then third game, he's got it's Buffalo at Cleveland, and Cleveland plus 3.5. He says take the Buffalo Bills. I would never bet on this game because I would never, ever, ever watch a Buffalo-Cleveland game. All right, and then the big one, the Chicago-Denver game. He is saying that Vegas is giving the Bears 3 points. The game starts with the Bears leading 3-0, but yet, despite that, he says, you got to bet on the Denver Broncos on this game. And for that, I am fining Mike North $1,000. Just kidding. All right, that's all I have for this special edition of Bears 100 Proof. Do you have anything, Bears girl?
Well, if the special Benjamin Albright 100 proof and the premiere of the Mike North Advantage can't get you through the weekend, don't worry. We're back Monday night with Bears Hour Live. We will be back on Wednesday with a brand new 100 proof. And we have a guest joining us, Russell Baxter of multiple podcasts and radio shows will be joining us to talk football and Bears with Shane and Phil. And we are still in the hunt for some Tommy hair.
Wait a minute. Is this the same Russell Baxter who Shane Marsaw has been pummeling on social media?
Yeah, that's the same Russell Baxter. He has agreed to come on with the premise that we're talking football and we're talking Bears.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's what he wants to do with us. So he's looking forward to coming on. He's looking forward to promoting us and the show. So Barfly's listening. Be nice.
Oh, my gosh. This is going to be something because Russell seems like one of the nicest guys on social media. He's always tweeting out our names and saying, follow us for Bears news and so forth. And then every once in a while, I turn around and Shane and Russell are fighting about something.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you and me usually.
Oh, yeah. All right, everybody. Remember, if you drink, please do not drive, and always
bear down.
Thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.